Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of the premier columnists in New York and has been throughout this century because he's so old. Mike, you're so old.
Speak up, son. I can barely hear you.
That's good.
Good, Chris.
These ball players, Mike. These ball players. They're just not what
today,
they used to be. Mike, when you took the subway with Duke Snyder, you knew he could really play, didn't you?
That's exactly right.
Well, what'd you think of the week? I let you kind of go wherever you want. I do want to get into the national championship with you a little bit just because we haven't spent any time on it. And with the NFL playoffs upon us, the New York market won't get much time to really get into the national championship. But, boy, it ought to be great, and I want to get there with you. But, obviously, you got Joe Judge. You got Brett Gardner re-signing with the Yankees today. You got everybody avoiding arbitration, which I think is good for both baseball teams. You know, where do you want to go? What interests you this week?
Well, I think the coach of the Giants is the one that seems to be on everybody's mind because, it's interesting. The way the rhythm of that hire went, it was like 2 seconds after it was kind of revealed that they weren't going to get Matt Rhule, all of a sudden here's Joe Judge, and it's it starts out Joe who, and obviously he won the press conference, but I love the notion that I'm curious who the last coach really lost the press conference. Maybe McAdoo with his funny suit, and maybe Adam Gase with his Betty Davis eyes and so forth. But you don't really lose many press conferences as a coach. It's really what happens once you take over the job. I'm really fascinated to see what he does. He's young. He obviously comes from great stock, and he's a very promising coach. And that's what that's really all we can say about him now, because that's what we really only know about him now.
Yeah, I think at least maybe I overestimate them a little bit, the press conferences. But I like the one-on-ones afterwards, and I like what they don't say sometimes and just how they comport themselves, because they have to do that to win over their coaching staffs, which are so important these days, and obviously their players. But, Mike, I'm a big believer now that as an NFL coach going into 2020, that you're more of a manager than a coach, that coaching players, which is what he's done since he doesn't have head coaching experience, he's been face-to-face with players. He's in for a little bit of an awakening, even though he's a smart guy and he's seen it, as to what a coach does at the NFL level when they're a head coach.
You're right. And, it's funny. I don't mean to mix metaphor, so to speak, but it's interesting to see what Ed Orgeron has been able to do at LSU, in the sense that I don't think anybody thinks he's a good head coach, even now. Certainly his resume wasn't that he was a great head coach. But what he did at LSU was he surrounded himself with a great staff, and he let that staff work. And I think that's the best talent you can have as a football coach at any level, but especially at the NFL, and especially when you're 38 years old and it's your first job. It's going to be interesting to see who he assembles on the staff and then how much autonomy he gives those people. Because I know a lot of times, especially when you're young and you're trying to prove yourself, you want to show how smart you are. I think the smartest thing you can do, though, is to let your trusted lieutenants run the show. And I think that's the best way that he would have a clear path to success with the Giants: hire a good staff, and then trust them that they know what they're doing, and let them do that part of the job while you're learning what it is to be a head coach.
Amen. 1,000% in agreement with that. It's the same thing he wanted from Mara and Gettleman when he got hired, is trust me to do the job. And now, they want to nudge him but not push him toward the right people to help him out. I hope they're not too nervous that he's 38 and we need to make decisions for him. I hope they give him that same latitude. And then in turn, as you say, I hope he gives it to the people he hires and trusts them enough. And that's the one thing where I would agree with you. As much as I might have been more impressed with the press conference than you were, we both agree that none of that stuff and clock management and what happens on Sunday and your play calling, none of that can be revealed in a press conference. And really, that's the meat and potatoes. So we agree on that.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that, look, in the overall, you know, if things work out for this guy, we're going to see it develop over an arch of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, hopefully longer years. And that's, you know, that's all about the kind of program you develop and the kind of team you develop. And that's, I think, really what Giants fans have to hope that this guy has understood, because look, who's developed a better program in the history of the NFL than Bill Belichick? I'm not saying that he's going to be Bill Belichick, but he's obviously been in that particular realm, understanding, you know, how important it is to build an organization and to build a, dare we say, a culture that allows for success.
I gave him credit for not getting specific or overly praising Jones or Barkley, especially when asked about Jones, just because I thought that would be easy bait to take. And, you know, I'm going to endear myself with Giant fans and tell them what they want to hear, that I'm really excited about working with this young quarterback, and I think he's got great potential, and Barkley's already one of the best backs in the league, and all the positive things he could have said, leaving everybody else out and just talking about those guys since he was asked about them. I was impressed, and maybe I'm an easy mark, but I was impressed that he didn't take that bait. And he said, you know what? I haven't seen him enough. I'm not going to make any comments on these players until I see them. I thought that showed good judgment and bodes well about his judgment. Am I making too much out of it or not?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a great way to put it. I think at this point, the worst thing he could have done was blow smoke, both in terms of how he's going to be perceived by the fans and also by the players he was going to work with. And I think that he avoided all of that by the way that he attacked, if you will, the questions and approached the questions and the answers he provided.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought it showed good judgment. That's what I look for in those press conferences more than anything else. How is he on his feet? You know, how's he going to do, and how much positive energy does he project, and do I think he's full of it, or do I think he means it? And I think he passed all those tests, so that was good. But I am very anxious on the staff. I'm very anxious on the coordinators, and you know, and seeing if he can get what he wants, which is what every coach wants, but some are better at it than others. And that is, can I get the most out of the talent that I have? Not let's worry about the talent we don't have. And it seems like, anyway, he has the right attitude there, and obviously that's been one of the keys for Belichick.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that that's the thing, is from a Giants fan, that's what I take most out of the week, is that I just get a sense that he's got a good head on his shoulders in terms of what he needs to do to make this work. He's not flying blind, and I think that really would make me feel good about things if I'm a Giants fan.
I'll tell you, the weather today is unbelievable. It's 65-plus in New York, 70 in Boston, and people, I'm getting some baseball calls just because of the weather, I think. People are like, ooh, baseball's got to be coming. It's nice out. And it's pretty good situation to go into with this much optimism about the local teams. We know how tough the National League East is going to be, and that tempers it a little bit because it's going to be a war in there. But both teams seem to be, you know, in pretty good place right now in January. We don't know how they'll be in June, but in January they're in a pretty good place.
Seems to be. They've definitely gotten all their ducks in order with avoiding arbitration, which is always a nice way to start the kind of the business year off. And look, I think, you know, obviously, I don't think either team is going to look the way they look right now, you know, in July and certainly toward the end of the year. But, you know, that said, I think both teams are ready to approach spring training with what they want to do. I mean, the Yankees obviously, you know, accomplished their one goal in getting an ace. And I think the Mets, you know, got a long way toward being what they want to be by being a bullpen team. Now, that would terrify you if you know the Mets' history with the bullpen, and you have to have a little bit of a leap of faith that that the guys they acquired and maybe the potential is going to, you know, approximate what he was, and you know, hopefully, you know, it's kind of funny to see that Edwin Diaz got $5 million in arbitration yesterday. It's good work if you can find it, I guess. But you gotta hope that he approximates what he used to be in that last year was just an aberration. And I guess you'll find that out the hard way. You know, the thing about discovering if we have a good bullpen or not is that if you do, that's great, and if you don't, you're going to learn those lessons the hard way and the heartbreaking way and you know, early on in the season.
The other interesting thing with these teams, which is great for you and for us as media people, and you know, we want to talk about, and you want readers to read about things that they're interested in, you got a lot of flex players that fans like and they want to see them play, but they don't know how they fit. And whether it's Dom Smith or J.D. Davis or Mike Tauchman or Clint Frazier or Urshela and the whole third base, first base thing in with the Yankees, there's a lot of moving parts and interesting players that are going to be a challenge for these two general managers.
And for the managers, too, because if those guys, you know, if we get to April 1st and these guys are still on the team, obviously the challenge then is for the managers to figure out ways to make everybody a useful part of the team, which is obviously the thing that I think Aaron Boone did, you know, masterfully last year. And so, you know, he's forced into having to do that because of all the injuries, but, you know, he got so many guys to make so many contributions that you got to figure they're all loaded for bear to try and prove they can be part of the process again this year. And then you can have the same thing, you know, with the Mets. You got a guy like Chris Lowry, I'm sure, probably comes to training saying, you know, well, you know, I think I probably got a little something to prove, and he does. And, you know, J.D. Davis has something to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. And so I would be excited for both teams. I think the Yankees have a higher ambition because, you know, they look like they are a championship team ready to take off. But I think the Mets are a playoff team, and I think that you know that part of it is just as exciting.
NFL weekend, give me your thoughts about these eight teams that are left. Do you have anybody that you really like over everybody else? Do you have a favorite upset? Where will your thoughts be, and where do you think the most entertaining game will be?
I think the most entertaining game is going to be in Kansas City tomorrow. I think that will be a lot of fun. I do think that my team right now, I mean, I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl before the season started, and I know it's been kind of a really good road to get there. But I like where they are. Obviously, I mean, the Patriots are out of the way. If things proceed according to chalk, they have to figure out a way to win in Baltimore, and that's going to be challenging, obviously. But I just like what the Chiefs have become. I like the way they developed as a team. Last year I think the regular season was was almost too easy for them. And I think that they've been able to, become a better team as this season has gone along. And obviously they have the quarterback. And when you have that quarterback, it's got to make you feel good about what you can do in a playoff game.
We got a lot of horizontal quarterbacks now, don't we? It's kind of like the college game. We got a lot of guys going side to side on the field, and it makes you wonder about the future of the game. And if they can stay healthy the way Jackson and Mahomes in particular have, then it's going to be interesting because we see that some of these guys that are approaching dinosaur status in Breeze and Brady and Roethlisberger and Rivers and Eli, et cetera, that group is the window is closing on them and the new group is coming in. So that'll be a fascinating change as we start the new decade. Let's finish with the national championship game. Maybe the number one pick in this year's draft and the number one pick in next year's draft. If Burrow and Lawrence are healthy and stay up the form, that well could be the case. And, you know, not since, for me anyway, Reggie Bush against Vince Young, Texas USC, do I remember looking forward to a game as much as I'm looking forward to this one. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you because, I mean, LSU is just a pinball machine offense. They're so much fun to watch. But you know what? Clemson hasn't lost in like 750 days. that's a lot of championship muscle memory. And I think that's something you really need to keep in mind. I think LSU definitely has the better team. But, you know, Clemson's the team that's been there. And Clemson's a team that, you know, has the trophy in its fingers right now. And you're going to have to literally, you know, pry it out of their hands in order to win it. So I still think LSU's going to win, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do. And,
yeah.
You know, in the same way that game you referenced was I'll never forget being in the Rose Bowl that day and watching that game, and it was just a lot of fun, that Texas-USC game. And I think you're going to see the same kind of game here.
Yeah, what was interesting about that game to me is, you know, you and I have been doing this a long time, and you hype games and you hype games and you hype games, and very rarely do they live up to every word of the hype. And yet that one got unbelievably hyped and then lived up to every penny of everyone's hype. I mean, and that is a rare thing when it works out that way. So we can only hope that Monday night we get a duplicate of that, because that game really couldn't have been much better and everybody thought it was going to be great. And when you get that combination, then everyone's paying attention. It's the best in sport. You know, it really is.
Totally. And look, I mean, what you said is right. I mean, yeah. It's a quarterback's world, and, you know, I think you're seeing a different iteration of quarterback you know, than we're used to. But these two guys are kind of both combinations of what we kind of know as the standard traditional quarterback, and also kind of the modern quarterback. They're both kind of, I think, hybrids of both, and I think that's going to make it fascinating because they're both terrific. And like you said, you're probably looking at the next two number one draft picks of the NFL draft, and how many times have we been able to say that?
Yeah, and you're going to watch a lot of NFL players regardless on that field on Monday night for sure. So those of you that love the draft will be making your grades, I'm sure, based on what you see in the biggest game these kids will play. Mike, always good conversation. We covered a lot in 20 minutes. We appreciate it. Enjoy the day. And where are you going to be? Where are you for tomorrow or today?
Yeah, I'm in New Orleans.
So okay.
I'm getting ready for that game Monday night, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It sure is. And in fact, my column tomorrow is about, we were just talking about the two quarterbacks, the two coming number one picks. So it's going to be it's a lot of fun, a lot of fun stuff to write about, a lot of fun to talk about. It's great talking to you.
All right, don't eat too much.
Yeah, too late.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.